Yeah, bing me. You bing me, I'll slap a hoe.
Emails.podbean.com.
It's Google, motherfucker. Bing me, I'll slap a hoe.
Welcome to the Caldivian, you cock-sucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Welcome to ianellis.podbean.com, the only podcast that gives you new stand-up material every week. I'm the only comic that does it. These other dudes are lazy, man, that are, I'm just consistently whack. I don't know. I don't know why I giggle so much, too. I listened back to the last episode. I was like, I'm giggling through everything I had to say. What's going on there? Last week, I meant to talk about the origins of With Apologies, and I got distracted by talking about the fight, the big fight. As far as the fight goes, Jay is fired. We cut him loose. He's gone. But he's not banned from the show, so he will be around. I don't know if he'll be around as much or if he'll be around just as much, but he'll, you know, play along a little bit more. I don't know what he's going to do, but I was on the Ross Doug show last night with Ross and Jay. It was all good. Doug was on there. He has returned, and he has a home. His wife is working. Doug's doing good. It's a beautiful thing. Go check that out on the Ross Doug Network. So the origins of With Apologies. This all goes back to Dante and Patrice O'Neill. I love Patrice O'Neill. He's like my favorite. He's the first comic I saw where I was like, that's what I'm trying to get to. That's what the real thing is. That's it. All this other stuff, that's shtick. But that is, something about that is right. And I'm not there. I'm still not there. All these years later, all the effort I put in, I'm still nowhere near. But that was like the bar that I wanted to get to. And he died. He's dead, man. He's gone. He had diabetes. He died of the sugarfoot. Even though his airhead girlfriend was trying to turn him into like some vegan shit before he died. So Patrice died, and he used to have a show called The Black Phillip Show. It was on XM. It was sort of like a satellite show to Opie and Anthony. Opie and Anthony never really gave a fuck about them, but I loved that Patrice was on there all the time. So I would listen to all of his appearances religiously, and I would kind of check out other stuff here and there depending on who the guest was. So after Patrice died, there was this void in comedy for me and for a lot of other people. And Nick and Chris decided they wanted to start their own show based on Opie and Anthony and Black Phillip, kind of a hybrid between the two, and they called it Red Phillip. The Red Phillip Show, with two incels telling it like it is to these hoes. Two no-pussy-getting motherfuckers going to tell motherfuckers how to get pussy. That was the angle of the show. But, you know, CEO is funny. He's just funny now as he was then. He was then as he is now. Like, he's always been this good. He's one dude that embarrasses me. Like, I embarrass a lot of comedians because my output, you know, the high level of output and the pretty consistent quality of the output puts a lot of this stuff that's on TV to shame, where you're like, y'all niggas should be fired. And Chris just runs circles around me. He's the funniest dude I know. He's the closest thing to Patrice in real life that I've encountered. So they started a show, and they reached out to Dante Nero. They wanted to get him as a guest on the show because Dante was the co-creator, co-host of the Black Phillip Show. Some backstory on Patrice and Dante that you may or may not know. And I don't know if this is true or not. Patrice, he was getting sloppy pussy. All right, he was fucking big girls. No discernment. No standards. He's just like, he's taking whatever pussy he could get. And Dante, he was a bouncer, and he was into, like, pickup artists, and did a little pimping thing where, like, these strippers he was working with started asking him to be the bouncer when they went on their calls, and then they started asking him to, like, arrange the appointments for him, and that's how he got into the pimp game. And then one day he sent a couple hoes off to an island, and these dudes, like, broke a beer bottle off on a girl's, in a girl's butthole, in her butthole, shards of glass, broken. And after that, he was like, yeah, I'm done with this shit. This shit is too real. I'm not born for this pimping. I ain't doing this. So Dante got into stand-up comedy, and he met Patrice. And those two clicked a lot. They're two fat black dudes. The only two fat black dudes hanging out. And Dante taught Patrice the game, basically. How to pick up bitches. The pimp game, pickup artist game. All the scams and tricks to get these hoes. And in return, Patrice was teaching Dante the comedy game. How to be a comedian. At some point, they had a falling out. There was a comedian, I can't remember his name. It's something Green. It's not Greer Barnes, but his name is very similar to Greer Barnes. And he had come to Patrice one day and was like, "Hey man, what's up with Dante? He's like, he's biting your style, bro. Like he's eating your essence." And Patrice was just like, "All right, man," and he broke up with Dante. They weren't friends anymore. They weren't friends when Patrice died. And the Black Phillip show had been off the air for a while. It only wound up having like 13 episodes. I didn't know any of this at the time. I just assumed those two were best friends, you know, to the day Patrice died. So after Patrice's passing, I started my new show, the Zian Ellis Podbean.com, and I wanted some of that feeling of the Black Phillip show. So I was reaching out to people like Dante, TK Kirkland, Lunell, like real grimier comedians. What's his name? Tony Woods, the guy that Chappelle stole his style from. You didn't even know that, did you? Tony Woods, the original Dave Chappelle. So I was lucky enough to get Dante on my show. I say lucky enough because he didn't have to be bothered with me. You know, he was doing his thing. He was a regular at the Comedy Cellar. People know him. His career has some legs and stuff. And he didn't know me from anybody. But he called in and we clicked. And my interview with him wound up being like the pilot show for the Beige Phillips show. And me and him stayed in contact. And he's like, "Yo, I've been talking to Harry about maybe, you know, bringing back like the Black Phillips show. But like, I don't want to just bring it back. You know, it's disrespectful to Patrice. I want to like escalate the dialogue. I want to do something new here. I want to elevate it. You know, I'm in a new place. I want to, you know, take the fans of that show to the new place that he's in." And I was like, "Dope, man. I have a direct line to a guy who has Patrice stories." I'm like, "Hey, man, I worship at your feet. Just keep telling me Patrice stories. I'll do any goddamn thing you want." So I started working with him to help him set up how to podcast, how to get his shit going. And recommending, like, you want to do this like these people and do this like these people and equipment, this, that, and the other. Now, you might listen to my podcast and be like, "Ian, this is the worst fucking audio I've heard in any podcast ever. This is shit." I work off of a lot of immediacy, and you're right. I should put more effort. I should get microphones. And maybe one day. I always felt like if the show sort of got to a certain level, I'll step it up. I'll put the effort in, but right now, that would be spending a lot of time and money that I don't want to waste. I'd rather just keep, you know, geeking off on doing what I do. I just want to do the jokes, man. I don't give a fuck about the rest of this shit. Just enjoy the ride. So Chris and Nick reached out to Dante, and at that time, I was working with Dante, and Lane, who runs the Cult of Black Phillip, was working with Dante, and Dante put all of us in touch. And me and Lane found this guy, Kane Carter, who was ripping off Patrice's material, and we put out the first videos exposing him, and that shit went super viral. Ended his career, like, three times over. You guys probably didn't even know. It was so low-key. I put out a video, it got a bunch of attention, and then Lane put out a video that, like took him to the cleaners, pulled the teeth out, full-on documentary style. And that went super viral. And somebody ripped his video and put it on World Star. And like, the World Star people got paid off of it. Lane didn't make a goddamn dollar. But we didn't care, man. We were just, you know, defending Patrice. That's what we do. Soldiers in the army. So when Chris and Nick reached out to Dante, Dante's like, "Hey, yo. Hey, you holler at my boy Ian Ellis." You know, he's trying to give me a little boost. Like, hey. You know, here's a little gig, something to help you out. So I called into their show, and it was a lot of fun, and so they invited me to come back. And then I just kept calling in again and again until they were just like, "All right, man, you're third mic on the show. You're the regular now." And back then, I was just a straight-up drunk. Any show I called into, I was completely wiped out. I would just sit there with a bottle of vodka and a bottle of Coke. And be like, "All right, let's get angry, let's get mean, and see what happens." not give any fucks for the sake of this show, for the show. And we had a good time. And the audio quality was shit. It was some of the worst. Like, it makes my stuff seem like quality. And I don't know what it is. Like, it was a lot harder to do this back then. And Nick, you know, set up a dedicated office with microphones and a computer and figured out how to have me Skype in and to take Google calls. Like, this shit was not easy. There was no such thing as Discord. There was no streaming on YouTube back then. But we figured it out. But there would always be some issue where there was like a goddamn buzzing in the background. And I don't know if it's one of the mics was like too sensitive, so it was picking up on the lights, or fucking a cord was just loose or something. But there was just this god-awful buzzing in a lot of the episodes. So Nick went to Dante and was like, what do you think of the show fucking Red Phillip? And he's like, yeah, you should change the name. You know, I'm Beige Phillip. I already got that name on lock. You should change the name. How about something else that says what your show is? So they came up with apologies. I don't remember if Dante came up with it or if they took the idea to Dante, but he was involved in coming up with the name of the goddamn show. CEO, so disrespectful. Hating on the man that brought us all together. Hating on the man that named the show. The only celebrity to ever call into the show. But it's fine. I love him because he's a hater. A real hater. I love haters. I think they're is flavorful. You need that spice in life. So we started doing with apologies, and then as the show was going along, Nick progressively started to lose his mind. there was kind of a strange dynamic between like this edgelord shit, which is another term that didn't exist at the time, but it was like just trying to say the most extreme shit you could, and having fools on. And a fool's watch, which is like a Red Bar thing, that didn't exist either at the time. But we would bring on insane people for the sole purpose of trolling them. I mean, trolling wasn't even like a thing back then, but we would bring on people just so we could get them riled up and laugh at them. And Nick started to worry that he was one of our fools. We didn't have this terminology back then, but he thought that maybe we were all sort of playing a sick joke on him. He started getting really paranoid. And Chris and I saw that he was being paranoid, so we decided to fuck with him. Because what else are you going to do? He's being crazy. Let's poke him. Let's poke the bear. So we came up with this goof that we wanted to kick him off of the show as a... We wanted to fire him, but still have him produce the show. And it was going to be me, Chris, and Mo. Mo, who just came back to Without Apologies. And we were going to call it The Three Kings. This was just completely fictional. No intention of ever actually doing this. And Nick melted down. He lost his goddamn mind. That episode is up on With Apologies. It's also up on the Ian Ellis YouTube channel. I think it's called like Nick's Final Episode, or Nick Has a Mental Breakdown. Something like that. And yeah, Nick flipped out, and he gave us the rights to the show, and he quit. we started trying to take the prank even further, and we came up with this idea that they were going to come visit me here in the States, and they were like, Nick, can we borrow your equipment? Like, we don't have the equipment. And he was just like, fuck no. He was screaming at the top of his lungs. He threw a monitor out of a goddamn window. He really had a breakdown, and he terminated the show, and he deleted a lot of the archives. So we've been trying to piece it together for people like Sean Boyce that want to hear the old episodes, but we're just finding it in drips and drabs on the internet ourselves, and who knows if the complete original With Apology saga is out there anywhere. You're not missing out on too much, but it is fun and funny. And we've been trying to do that. That's one of Lane's projects has been to collect all the old episodes and release them on the Chicago Open Mic YouTube channel. We have like 12 channels right now. So Nick broke up with us in real life. Like, he stopped being our friend in real life. He was still kind of keeping in touch with me loosely, but I'd only hear from him every, you know, 6 months to a year. Just, hey man, how you doing? Happy birthday. Heard you got married, blah, 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 shit like that. And, he had to go figure his shit out. He was worshiping Gavin McGinnis at the time. He joined the Proud Boys. He was lost in this own world of his. And there's nothing any of us could do to help fish him out. And at the same time, they all had an apartment together. And so when he left, there was this big drama where it was like a couple months of the rent didn't get paid and everybody blamed the other person. So Nick blamed Mo and Chris. Mo and Chris blamed Nick. Everybody went their separate ways. Me, Chris, Mo, and a secret member of the group I won't name because I don't want to drag their name through the mud, we all stayed together in a group chat. And for the last several years, we've just been talking that shit together privately with no intentions of bringing back the show. It was Nick's show. So it was like, without Nick, what the fuck is the point? So at some point in 2018, Lane, who's like, I guess he's my manager. He's the closest thing to my manager. If I ever have a gig, he'll be there. He'll get 10%. Yeah, Lane is my manager in this goofy world. Lane asked me to start getting videotape of what I do because he's like, this audio shit isn't working. He's been directing me to make the podcast better and make little baby steps to like try and actually have a career in this because I'm very bad about taking this seriously. I have no desire to like go hoof it through the city. I'm not going to the city 4 days a week. I'm not hanging out at fucking shitty open mics. I'm not kissing ass at clubs to get in. I'm not doing any of that. I went to LA, I gave it a shot, things were going well, but fucking, it fell apart. And by the way, part of the reason it fell apart, I lost my job, and Tony Hinchcliffe hired me to do the artwork for Kill Tony episode 100, and I'd done a lot of artwork for them, just like trying to click up and be part of the group. I thought the Death Squad was like a, what did fucking Patrice used to call it? A cartel. Patrice used to say there's these cartels, like the Judd Apatow cartel, the Colin Quinn cartel. And I thought that there was the Joe Rogan cartel. And it seemed like the easiest way to get in there was through Kill Tony, because they would allow you, they would just take random open micers once a week. So I was like, I'm going to just sign up every week, jap off until they notice me, and then make myself available. And that plan worked, because I was good on the show. I was like, handful of appearances that Lane and Clickbait are trying to dig up for the various YouTube channels and the new Too Dumb to Fail documentary. The best ones with Anthony Jeselnik. look forward to that coming. Speaking of tape, the Hannah Gadsby tape has dropped. We'll come back to that. I don't want to get too far off track here. So I was doing a lot of work with Kill Tony, and he was getting ready to shoot his Netflix special, and I lost my job. And he's like, you've been doing all this work. Let me hire you. Name your price. I was like, all right, man, $500. And he's like, all right, man. Okay. It seems a little steep, but okay. So he busted. He pulled out a wad of cash, counted out $150, and gave it to me. And he's like, I'll give you the rest after that day, and I'll give you a percentage of the door. And Tony was known to, like, lead me on a lot. Like, he would pull me aside and be like, just had a meeting with Adult Swim, dropped your name, just recorded this Golden Pony podcast, you got some nice glowing reviews in there. he guaranteed me a place in his kingdom. He's like, Ian, hold me to it, you're gonna be part of my empire. And sure enough, I am not. But that was like the best hope that I had to click up and have some kind of career out there. And I was desperate because I was like, man, fucking hard to pay the rent. Didn't have a car. Was broke as fuck. Was really trying to make it as quick as possible, which was a mistake, but it was a learning experience. So I go through all that. Tony never ends up paying me. And he also doesn't have me on that episode, which I took as a little bit of a slight. And so I leave. I'm out of LA. I can't make my rent because he didn't give me the rest of this money he owes me. And I'd kind of seen the writing on the wall. So I planned appropriately. I was like, get the flight plan, you know, back up my backup plan. I'm out of here. I'm going to land on my feet. Came back here, got married, had a kid, started living a normal life. Tony comes to Chicago a lot, and I fit him up a couple times, or I did hit him up a couple times, say, like, hey, man, all right, you're here. Let's get together. Like, can I open for you? Can we sit down? We'll do an interview, podcast, whatever. And he's like, well, why don't you bring me drugs? And I was like, okay, what drugs do you need? And then he wound up canceling his appointment, never writing me back. So I was like, all right, well, fuck Tony. Apparently he only likes you when you can do something for him. And working with me isn't working for him right now. So fuck that dude. I am so far off topic. I can't remember how I got onto the Tony Hinchcliffe shit. So rewind back. I also did the artwork for the fucking. I've made more money drawing than I have fucking doing comedy, and I'm not even a good artist. I'm basically a tracer because I use programs where I can sort of Photoshop an image together and then work it out from there. I have enough art skills to work off of an image, but I am certainly no professional artist. Selena has me start working on tape for 2018. At the same time, the CEO, he likes to cringe watch. He likes to watch people fail. I don't have the stomach for it. I get bored. But he sees it as a sport because he gets in there and he affects their lives and the outcome of the show. And that's a lot of fun to him. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm going to try and project. I was recording before while my little man was having a nap. And the little monster woke up. Brah! Bra-ka-ka-ka! Bottle time! Change my diaper! Daddy duty! Boo! So gangster. So I'm trying to rush through this story. The beginning of With Apologies. So the show was canceled. Nick went crazy. He was a proud boy. He stopped jerking off. me and the CEO stayed in contact. 2018, Lane wants me to start shooting videos. In the meantime, in between time, the CEO has been trolling. Just having fun. He watches people quietly. He has a whole roster of fools that he watches. And I don't even know who all of them are. Quite a few of them are just secret for me. And one of the people he discovers is Kyle, the Super Saiyan. And he starts calling Kyle Black Ian. The Black Ian Ellis. So Kyle goes in for it and starts asking for me to call in. So CEO is like, Ian, come on, get in on this. So I start calling his show. The first couple times it didn't really go that well. It was fucking terrible phone connection. It was back before Discord days. Just briefly, there's a brief period where Kyle was just taking calls. And I didn't know what Discord was. Like, it hadn't entered the vocab for me yet. And then I also just wasn't used to dealing with someone like him that would just keep saying the same stupid shit over and over again and then just declare that he won. I'm used to dealing with people that are, like, engaged in the same reality as me, and there's there's a measuring stick to say, like, if you won or if you lost or if that was better or if that was worse, but he was like, I don't care what you did, I won. That was a new feature of YouTube that it took me a little while to get used to. And it's not just him. It's fucking all of these motherfuckers. Jim and Ham. Unbleached is probably more honest. But he may have done similar things. So me and the CEO start fucking with Kyle. And at the same time, he is at war with Unbleached, who we had never heard of before. Matt from the Unbleached program, who I like. And I think he'll be on more episodes of With Apologies in the future. And I'm excited about that. Him and Ross Dog have squashed their beef. They give no fucks. Matt just has to calm it down and not do any crazy shit like strike the channel. Other than that, he's welcome on the show. So we start fucking with Nick. Or not with Nick. With Unbleached. And like I said, we got the idea to bring back With Apologies and call him New Nick. We talked about that on the last episode. And we started to develop this strategy, this idea of like trolling, and Lane was taking all the different footage I was shooting, and he's like, I'm gonna cut it together, we're gonna put out a 15-minute special, just keep trolling the internet to get buzz going, and then we'll drop this, we'll be done with it, and that's gonna be that. Well, in the beginning, people couldn't figure out that me and the CEO were two different people, even though we have wildly different voices and personalities. When they did figure it out, Kyle made this jump in his head that the CEO was my manager, which was funny. So we just go with the bit. Whatever fucking people say about us, we just go with it. We like disinformation. I consider it to be cover. Say all the wrong things about me. I love that. I'd be more offended if your comments were accurate. So CEO starts calling in as my manager and then Joe Booney's manager, and we start spreading the strategy around. I'm calling in Joe Booney's channel. Lane and the CEO one night pull an attack on Unbleached, and in like 10 minutes they pretty much made him want to quit the internet. He wasn't ready. He was doing a show with his buddy Tony at the time, and they called in and they coined the phrase broke bar.
meaning he's a broke version of Red Bar Radio. And there's a lot of those dudes, too. Red Bar got a lot of clones. Hella clones, bro. And I think Matt always probably felt guilty or insecure about that, even though he's, you know, doing his best to pay homage and give respect and all that stuff. When you're not doing your own thing, when you're not authentic, that guilt-filled feeling can come over you. And so when the CEO and Lane popped up on him, when they ran up on him and took his money, they took his lunch money, I think the thought, the fear of Red Bar then coming after him, like, he probably in his head was like, oh shit, the BBG found me out, I'm fucked. He probably thought all the heads were coming after him, and he panicked. But then we decided to bring him around and do the With Apologies show. At that same time, we started looking for other shows that are live with call-ins. And we're in the early stages of putting together the strategy. And I'm trying to figure out what it is we're looking for. And what we're essentially looking for is, like, somebody whose audience we want. We think that their audience would like us more than they would like them. So, like, Kyle, I don't think Kyle has fans other than Penelope Spearhead or whatever his one fucking loyal fan is. But what Kyle has is, because he covers Opie and Anthony, there are lots of Opie and Anthony fans that watch him for the gossip, and they mock him. And we're like, O&A, we want those guys. That audience is exactly what we're looking for. That's right up our alley. So then I find Jimmer Nam. He popped up in a recommended one day because he was covering Artie Lang. And so I hit up the CEO and I was like, I don't know anything about this dude, but he has a live show with a call-in and he covers Stern stuff. And a Stern audience, you know, they're more likely to like us than people who watch fucking NPR or Amy Schumer or Judd Apatow. Like, Stern is at least a little, like, they're dirty. Maybe not the same kind of funny as us, but close enough that there's some people in there we could poach and steal them over for our side. So CEO takes a look at him and he hates him on sight. He's like, fucking chink Stern, this motherfucker, this googly eye, this goop catfish looking motherfucker. And we start bringing it up on Kyle's show and Unbleached show, because we don't even have our own, like, legit show at this point. And both of them were in love with Jimmer Nam. Jimmer Nam was like the big brother to Kyle and Matt. They were also stealing their shtick from him. So at first, they both love him, and we just keep punching away. Nah, y'all ain't seen it. Fuck this dude. And the game we were playing was we really wanted to get them into the fight and then sort of back away and sell arms to both sides. We wanted to play everybody against everybody else. Because we're evil. We're evil, maniacal, manipulative people. And so we eventually win them over. We start calling in Jimmer Nam's show. We get him pretty shook right away. And then Matt comes in. He does the Passion of the Jimmer. Kyle was the last one to turn on Jimmer. But once he turned, that shit was over. Over ski. Over, bro. Around that time, we finally start doing With Apologies with Nick, and Jimmer strikes Matt's channel. He strikes Unbleached, and he got a 30-day ban from live streaming. So we offer him the With Apologies channel if he wants to keep going along with our shtick, and he's like, nah, man, I'm gonna take it like a man. I'm gonna take these 30 days off, think about my life. You know, a lot's been going on lately. Maybe this is a break that I need. Maybe this is the universe telling me to calm down. We were like, all right, whatever. His show's canceled. With Apologies, canceled. We're still fucking with Kyle. And at this time, there was somebody called The Griggy Man. And The Griggy Man is still around. But he's not really... He doesn't participate in our universe that often. And me and CEO love Griggy Man. He was pulling in lots of interviews from fucking old Opie and Anthony people, old Howard Stern people. We did... me and CEO were on a show with... Who's the retarded boy on O&A? Fucking Bobo. And then through that, we also got Danny Ross. So we go to Griggy Man with this fun idea where we're like, all right, Unbleached is canceled. What we want you to do is pretend to be Unbleached. Since Unbleached is the fake new Nick, we want you to be the fake unbleached, and we had it all worked out, green screens, all kinds of bit ideas. He was going to be fucking eating Tide Pods and drinking actual bleach. The idea was for it to be like a massive drug trip, and he ODs at the end. It was all in good fun. Griggy Man goes to Unbleached and is like, hey man, how do you feel about this? And Matt was like, nah, fuck no, man. I don't want you making fun of me. What, I'm a volunteer to be made fun of? Fuck you. So Griggy Man pulls out on us, and he's mad at us, and Matt's mad at us. But around that same time, CEO is meeting all kinds of people through the Discord, and he's building our low-level henchman army, and he meets the Ross Dog. The Ross Dog had been around for a while. Early on, he would just, like, restream Joe Booney or Saiyans, and he would just sit in his garage and, like, smoke weed and laugh at him. He wouldn't even really comment over him or anything. He wasn't engaging with anybody. This shit would have, like, three views. But I liked that he was participating in our world, so I would try and, you know, I sub to him, would shout him out on Twitter or whatever. So CEO comes to me, and he's like, hey, man, this dude Ross Dog said he's down to do with apologies. What do you say? And I was like, fuck yeah, man, let's give it a shot. So we go over there, and he shows up with Jay, which was unexpected, and a little buckly in the beginning. I think it's all pretty worked out now. And that is the story of how Without Apologies came back and came to be. And now I'm picking up Scott Brennan. We just got out of a 7-day stint in the mental institute, Lamp God. And at some point, we'll get him back on With Apologies to talk about that. All right, guys, thank you for being here. Stay tuned to Pop Vulture, Inc. He's getting ready to release the next part of the documentary. Stay subscribed to the RDA LLC, the Ross Dog Network. Shout out to Unbleach, Kyle the Super Saiyan, Don A, Griggy Man, anybody and everybody who's fucking with us. And stay tuned, because we're still having fun. Oh, I forgot to... there's this guy named Smartphone. So Lamp God... Let me go back like 5 steps. CEO became my manager in this bit that we were doing. So then one day Lamp God's hanging out at my house, and I have him calling to Saiyans. I was like, I don't know, just tell him you're my manager. And Lane was also calling in as my manager. So it became a running gag that I had like 12 managers. I got all these managers and 0 gigs. And CEO got mad. He was like, I thought I was your manager, man. What the fuck? This dude's your manager now? You know what? I'm CEO. So he promoted himself to head of the management committee. And then one day he was fighting with Smartphone on, I believe there was an Unbleached podcast. And Smartphone was like, this is what you do. This is what you do. He sounds like comic book guy. Give me a second to get the point. Issue number, this is what you do. It's what you do. You're a corporation now? You're a big monolithic corporation? And CEO was like, yes. Yes, that's exactly what we are. We are the Ian, we're an LLC. We're the ENLS LLC. And he's the CEO, and Lamp God and Lane are managers, and then I am the public face of the corporation. So that was the foundation of the corporation. Was Smartphone came up with the idea, and CEO ran with it, and now it's kind of functioning similar to a real corporation. I feel like I've lost my train of thought here. All right, guys, here's some fucking jokes. Deuces.
Your next comic comes to the stage with a fucking dope-ass hat. Alright, here he comes, Ian Allen!
Get it, Ian. Follow the Stupendous Podcast.
Guys, this room needs to loosen the fuck up.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Shit. This diverse array of comedians... This is a Latin kid. Looks like he's selling M&M's for his football team.
Oh my god!
Thick ass mustache. He's 11. A woman?
Yeah!
Talking about her problems. All kinds of white people. 30 different shades of nerdy white people. Alt-right, NPCs, they all have opinions. I'm going to talk about special needs kids, is that okay?
Yes.
Target kids.
No.
You know they're an endangered species?
She's not kidding.
Yes.
This is real. You can Google this.
Yep.
They're not like rhinos. And killing them doesn't give Asian people boners. They're weird. They're fucking weird. They buy panties and vending machines. They're fucking weird. Can you believe they're an endangered species? They're scanning babies. And they're like, do you want to have a retarded kid? And parents are like, we're young. We'll try again.
Jeez.
Now they're parading these kids in front of Congress. Can you believe that shit? Kids out there chasing butterflies. Eating pennies. Shit those kids are up to. And they're like, come talk to Congress and be serious. I think we should be able to survive. We are important.
Jesus. Oh my God.
I think we can let them go. They're not important to the ecosystem.
Okay, you have no fucking clue.
They're not like bees.
You have no fucking clue.
If bees die, we go extinct. If retarded kids, we can live without them.
Don't use the R word, asshole.
They don't even want to be retarded. Ask
don't
them.
Use the R word.
Nobody
my
wants to have a
happy.
Sloped head and squinty eyes.
My honest son is smarter than you, you idiot.
Probably is.
Hey, honey.
I'm
keep it down.
You need to calm down.
Why is that?
Because you're being rude and disrespectful.
Everybody has a line, man.
Yeah, you're an
everybody in this room is going through some shit. Everybody has feelings. Life isn't easy.
I know.
The universe fucking hates people. You know that, right?
Well, then stop.
Everybody here has some hurty shit.
Yeah, so stop hating my son.
I don't hate your kid.
Hey, just keep going, bro.
This brings me to a point. Like, people think that I hate people. I don't. I love people. Whatever you are, gay, transgender, special needs.
Thank you.
Those are people. People are fucking great. I hate this thing I don't think they have a word for. And that's just like all the lies and horseshit and government religion put together. I call it Steve. Steve is the enemy. That's what I fucking hate. A lot of people work for Steve. I'm not mad at you. You gotta make a living. But Steve is a fucking dick. Fuck that guy. Because Steve relies on exploiting people. And I support freedom. Did you know that Steve has two enemies? One of them is culture, the other is technology. Do you know how dope culture is?
How dope.
They made transgender people legal. A lot of people think you gotta beg the government. Government doesn't lead, government follows. They follow the culture. Transgender people didn't fight for their right. It was like three of them. They caught a fucking wave. Bruce Jenner popped up and she knew the Kardashians and we decided that shit was cool. The other enemy is technology because they make exploiting people like unnecessary. I feel like I'm giving a TED talk instead of a comedy. You ever say to your wife, like, I know that you love me, but if you don't tell your period to shut the fuck up, both of you bitches are going to be homeless. And I don't think you'd make a good single parent. You say that to your wife? I call her all kinds of bitches and hoes. She doesn't care. You know why? The rent is paid. And I ain't going nowhere. Gotta support women and people. My name's Ian Ellis. I'll have a good night.
That was Ian Ellis laying the fucking smack down on this motherfucker's shit. Follow the Stupendous Podcast by... Oh, hey, Ian.
Uh-oh. Brought it to attention. I am selling candy, so after the show, if you guys want some, I got a box in the back, dollar each.
I know.
So, next thing you can come
I don't think it was. I think I heard somebody's feelings.
You know what it is? People pulled out after she got offended by the retard voice. That's all it is. But up to there, he's killing, right? He's like, fucking kill, laugh.
You were the first person. Good job.
All right, explain to me what you just said. Break it down. Instagram.
How the fuck could Chris D'Elia not follow Sebastian Maniscalco? And Sebastian Maniscalco...
Sebastian follows him. Sebastian's stay hungry. The Beatles, baby.
Stay hungry?
Yeah, you're the Smashing Pumpkins, bro. You need to be following the Beatles.
Chris D'Elia throwing some shade.
Chris D'Elia is like, he's probably a little inferior to him. Everyone follows Joe Rogan, though.
You're saying you're looking at it and you can tell who doesn't like each other. Like, who does Tony Hinchcliffe not follow?
Tony Hinchcliffe doesn't have that Mark Norman or that Nate Bargatze respect. But then again,
they don't respect him.
They don't follow him either. So you know. But you know who everyone likes is Theo Von. Everybody likes Theo Von. He's a likable guy, right? Love that most.
A sweet guy.
He's a sweet man.
I hated his first special because he seemed so racist, but he got a lot better.
That's what's weird is I seen him doing shit live, and it was like shit from the special that had gotten more developed.
Explain this to me.
Mike, his shit's better.
In on this one. About 9 people have told me I got to start listening to your mom's house podcast.
Yeah, Joey Diaz is great. Joey Diaz.
It seems boring as fuck. It's like NPR. Tell me on this podcast.
It's not like NPR at all. And
his wife is farting in microphones.
Joey Diaz is a gem, man. Just check it out.
That's another highly respected man in the comedic world.
Get medicated and then check it out, man. Just give it a taste test.
What other comedians are throwing shade? I want the scandals.
Who's throwing shade? I feel like, you gotta just... I'm excited about Kevin Hart's special, April 2nd, man. I'm pumped about this Netflix special. Oh, I know everyone, no one wants to admit that Kevin's the most likable, most lovable
and he's the
guy in the game, you know?
Would you say he's the GOAT?
Sebastian's the GOAT. Sebastian's the GOAT for me. And then...
he drank the whole Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Sebastian's the GOAT. And then Kevin Hart...
GOAT.
Hey, those guys are equal in presentation and lovability. You know? I love them. I like Bill Burr. I love Sebastian.
Don't feel like you gotta impress me. I don't care. Anybody else have any gossip they want to throw out there real quick?
Tim looks like a gummy bear that became a serial killer.
Uh-oh.
I like the flan.
You want to roast this man back?
No, not really. not really.
Mwah. You sweetheart.
Repeating now. It's a July 31st cage.
Guys, you just heard gossip, hot gossip, from Adam. He's the dude that went up before me. He's a frat house kind of dude, and he takes this comedy stuff very seriously. I think I left that out of my How With Apologies Began. I got to the point where I was like, no, I just like having fun. guys, hot gossip. The bar that I perform at, I do stand-up comedy once a week. That's it. I ain't workshopping this shit. It's one time and it's done. It's a wrap. So the bar I go to asked me if I would do my podcast at the bar for Wednesday night. And I was like, well, technically I already do my podcast here. And they're like, oh no, the other one where you have a bunch of people talk. I was like, with apologies? Nope. That's not happening. And they're like, come on, we just had the Happy Corner here. That's KB's podcast, KB and Amy Blaze. It was lit. It was fucking great. A million people showed up. And I was like, you don't understand. They're beloved. I'm infamous. It's a different kind of thing. People don't show up to my shows. And even if I could connect the technology to fucking have YouTube on screen and the Discord and the speaker, they're going to say some shit that you don't want to hear. This is a bad look. It's not something that's supposed to be live. I'm warning you against it. I love it. It's great, but I take it as a joke, and there's some people that will be super offended by this. It might be the most offensive show that isn't legitimately racist. But I love With Apologies. So cheers. We will not be doing a live show. I told her a whole bunch of people do podcasts. Pick one of them, and I'll come on as a guest. So, who knows? I might come on the Brad Stupak podcast. Shout out to the Stupendous Podcast with Brad Stupak. He had 2 crazy interviews with me. So if you want to hear stories about me, that was right around the time of Dying in the Fire. Just before and just after. So go check that shit out. Alright, y'all. I hope you've been drinking and I hope you've been smoking. This podcast is not to be listened to sober. It's a lot more enjoyable if you're a little turned up. I wish I would have embedded some music in the opening monologue I don't know. I think it's more enjoyable music, but there's also something to being able to hear me clearly when fucking I mumble and I sing my voice, because I can't barely make this shit audible. I'm terrible at this. I am not built for this. Alright, shout out to the RDA LLC. Shout out to the CEO. Shout out to Doug. Don A released a funny video. He's throwing shade at Matt. join the corporation, guys. It's a goof, but we're having a lot of fun. And we're at war with Revenge of the Sis. If you're their ally, you can get it. Okay? Don't think you can't. This is what we do. We got all day, son. How many are words going to come out your fat lips? Alright. we'll pull your skirt tail up. Don't make me pull your skirt up. Alright, so. Just throwing random shade at nobody for no reason. Deuces! Bruh! Bruh! Ka ka ka!
Special people change. How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high? Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high?
Choice. It's okay. I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at people. People are great. People can get it together. They can grow. They can change. Fuck it. That bitch Steve. This nigga. He explained, from the agricultural revolution? What? The great forgetting. Since then, he just bad ideas. The Jews would probably thought he's theistic. They didn't believe in heaven or hell. They didn't. So what did Jesus die for? Lucifer fell down in the Old Testament. He was just a Babylonian king. It wasn't Satan. They didn't believe in hell back then. How could it be? So what the fuck did Jesus die for? Muhammad had epilepsy. We can just leave this stuff behind. It's okay. He was just... Jesus was just a revolutionary Jew. It's fine, guys. We can leave it all behind. We can become a type 1 civilization. Yang Gang. I don't even like him, but he's the beginning of the conversation. Hey, man, they're getting rid of all the jobs. One third of these jobs. You wish that they'd make a smooth transition, but it's like the dragon always makes the most noise before it dies. It's kicking. Those people that rely on power, money, they're going to fuck us to the bitter end. We just got to get on the same page. Don't worry about Democrat or Republican. You're just playing their game. All right? It's bigger than that. Choose culture. Choose technology. Don't worry about these motherfuckers. That's the left hand and right hand of Steve. Don't fuck with Steve. Steve is stupid. He doesn't matter. He's a dying creature. This song is long as fuck. When the fuck is this goddamn song gonna end? Oasis? This song is longer than your career. Fucking drunk. It's supposed to be the next Beatles and he drank that shit away. Ugh. Get your life together. Guys, I love With Apology. It's fun. I don't know what the fuck we're doing. It's fun. Get on there. Get on board. Show up in the chat. Come hang out with us live. It's a party and you're invited. And we're figuring it out. Alright, fuck this song. I was getting high. Now I'm getting sober. This song is so goddamn long. Deuces! Bra! Bra! Ka! 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 Minutes long. This is the album.
Before I do the station ID, how about a joke?
Did you get these jokes from a children's book?
What do vegetarian zombies eat? Grains.
Just say the thing.
Comedy.
Liberal or Republican? Well, if you pick a side, then you're done. You want Trump to grab your pussy or Bill Clinton to cover you in cum? Hillary's a psycho, Christians are retarded, and Trump is a fag. And I wouldn't have to be here if it wasn't for my mom and dad. Make America gay again, make America gay as fuck. Cause I'm just trying to meet some dudes and get my penis up. And if I could get pregnant, I'd have abortions like every day. Cause if I had a pussy, it'd be so easy to get laid. Cause it's a whole lot of gang shit, and this money ain't a goddamn thing, bitch. I got some trap homies we can hang with. First they pull the strap out, then they aim it. Cause it's a whole lot of gang shit, and this money ain't a goddamn thing, bitch. I got some trap homies we can hang with. First they pull the strap out, then they aim it. And why don't Catholic priests just go out and fuck girls? It would save a ton of little boys around the world. And if God really has every single thing he needs, then why the fuck does this asshole need 10% from me? And I'm tired of paying so much goddamn income tax. 30% of my income, you didn't earn that, give that shit back. If I had to choose a hero, well it would probably be Nick Cruz. Cause the best thing about school shooters is now I don't gotta pay for your dumb kid's food. cause it's a whole lot of gang shit, and this money ain't a goddamn thing, bitch. I got some trap homies we can hang with. First they pull the strap out, then they aim it, cause it's a whole lot of gang shit, and this money ain't a goddamn thing, bitch. I got some trap homies we can hang with. First they pull the strap out, then they aim it. And once your daughter gets to high school, well, it won't be long before she gets fucked. First she'll get a cherry popped, then she'll get cheated on, then she'll get dumped. Once she graduates high school, well, good luck, cause it only gets worse. She'll be at the Halloween party as she's getting raw dog, she's dressed like a nurse. First she'll start with the white guys, oh dog, trust me, she's gonna get plowed. Yeah, when she hangs out with the football team, they're gonna fuck her and pass her around. Then she'll start fucking black guys, cause they got the biggest damn dicks. Once they get that dick inside her, I bet $50 the pussy gon' rip. Cause it's a whole lot of gang shit, and this money ain't a goddamn thing, bitch. I got some trap homies we can hang with. First they pull the strap out, then they aim it. Cause it's a whole lot of gang shit, and this money ain't a goddamn thing, bitch. I got some trap homies we can hang with. First they pull the strap out, then they aim it. It's a whole lot of gang shit.